You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. Today's show is brought to you by Draft.com. That's our, it's like daily fantasy, but not quite the same. We'll explain that in a bit. As always, find the show on Megaphone, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Lakers Nation, Lakers Outsiders, Spotify, and Alexa. Today's show, we're going to talk about Lonzo Ball, and we're going to try to bring something unique to it. We've noticed something going on with Lonzo and the rest of the NBA. And so, like, I just asked Harrison, because apparently Marcin Gortat wants Lonzo to be tortured. I just kind of asked Harrison, hey, doesn't it feel like the rest of the NBA hates Lonzo and cares about Lonzo a hell of a lot more than Lonzo cares about the rest of the NBA?
And well, considering that Lonzo Ball's response to that tweet when asked about it today was, I don't pay no mind to it.
Yeah.
And what else was he saying? He was asked about trying to get the first rookie triple-double before Ben Simmons got it, and he just said congratulations to him, and they got the win. So that's positive.
Yeah. So, like, it... So to answer the question, then, it's yes, right?
And yeah, the rest of the NBA cares way more about Lonzo than Lonzo cares about them. I mean, I said this the other – I'm going to steal this tweet again because it was the best description I heard of Lonzo against Patrick Beverley. Everybody was making such a big deal about, oh, he's being so physical with him. He's getting in his head. He's trash-talking him. But that whole time, Lonzo had what can only be described – and I wish I could shout out the Twitter account that I saw this on – but as – the blank expression of a man who has grown up and spent the last 19 years trash talking with LaVar Ball.
That's pretty. I can only imagine.
Like, there's nothing anyone can say that will even draw a reaction from Lonzo. I don't think that type of trash talk exists. I mean, barring going completely over the line of like normal standards of decency. But,
even then, like, I feel like he would just kind of roll his eyes and tell whoever, like, hey, get your mans, you know. And,
I mean, there are some things that somebody could say to, like, anyone that would get, like, probably get you to be physical. But, like, beyond that, you know, like, talking about family or, like, yeah, it's something really serious. But
LaMelo doesn't deserve his Lamborghini.
Yes, exactly. I'm sure that's exactly what I meant. But no, I mean, he just doesn't care at all. And it's weird. He's like this basketball, he's like this outlet passing floor robot. Vision genius robot.
He's Spock. Yeah. No wonder you love him so much. You guys have that in common. You guys are Spocks.
Lonzo Ball and I could have some very dry humor, boring conversations where we don't react to anything or ever use a different tone when we're being sarcastic.
I think that's basically what it is when Gary's on this show. Sorry, Gary. But I I want to know where this is coming from, and I don't want to just excuse it as, well, LaVar brings out the worst in people, because that excuses the behavior, right? I don't understand it. So Ben Simmons drops the aforementioned triple-double that he did the other day, and everybody is up in arms about how great he looks, and he look at how, you know, easy he made that look, and all of these things, and the effusive praise was cool. It was fun. It was great, because it was just... that's what he deserves, a rookie who goes out there and drops a triple-double, albeit more efficiently than Lonzo's near triple-double was. But no matter, disclaimers aside about efficiency, when a young person does something that hasn't really been done before or has been done very rarely, we should just praise them for it. We shouldn't find holes in it. We shouldn't poke holes in it because we don't like the dude's dad. We should just say, hey, that was really freaking cool. That was what bugged me so much when Lonzo Ball won Summer League MVP, and people are like, well, look at the past Summer League MVP winners. I'm just like, why does that effing matter at all? It doesn't matter at all. You're just pulling apart a kid, and again, a kid that is barely, not even old enough to drink, and here we are pulling apart parts of their games that don't need to be right now.
You know what? Honestly, Anthony, I couldn't disagree more. I think that all of these millennials, they just want participation trophies. You don't get a trophy for almost getting a triple-double against the Phoenix Suns, who like are so bad that their coach got fired after their next game. You know, I don't think Lonzo deserves any praise. Did the Lakers win a title yet? No. And then even if they do win a title, did they repeat yet? No. No one deserves any praise. We're all failures.
Even after they don't repeat, they didn't three-peat either.
Yeah, true. Failure. A future Lonzo failed the three-peat. What a bust.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, anyway, I do want to point out on the note of the triple-doubles thing and whatever, Lonzo is almost averaging a triple-double. He's averaging right now, three games into the season, 13.3 points, 9.3 rebounds, 8.7 assists. Would we like to see his efficiency be a little bit higher? Yeah, I think everybody on the Lakers, Lonzo probably himself, even LeVar, if you injected him with truth serum, would probably like to see Lonzo play a little better. He's shooting 34.8% from the field. But like, those are really, really good box score numbers for a rookie in their first three games. He's almost averaging a triple-double. That's kind of insane.
And, by the way, a rookie that the rest of the NBA hates.
Is specifically targeting. And yeah. It's weird how much they hate. And I agree with you about that. It's not – you can't just say, like, LeVar is polarizing, so this is, like, fair. Like, these guys are, like, kind of – like, they're taking something personally that, like, doesn't necessarily need to be taken personally. And actually, I mean, it is kind of hilarious, so I can't really get that mad about it. But it's funny to watch these grown men get so, like, triggered just over, like, a guy being confident in his son and maybe taking it over the line sometimes. But it's, like – I mean, come on. Like, yeah, like some of these guys got to chill out.
The sexist stuff and all that, yes, LeVar was 100% in the wrong there. But for knocking a dad for being around and making sure that his son has the best opportunity to succeed, that's a little iffy considering the other criticism that NBA players' dads tend to get is they aren't around. So can't have it
Thank
both ways.
Thank you for just dropping that stereotype. All right.
Well, no, that's the you either have that criticism on one hand, and then now LeVar Ball is getting criticized on the other. It's just like
Ball is getting criticized because he's such a loudmouth all the time.
Right.
But yes, I mean, it's just weird to me that these grown men are like so angered by LeVar when he's clearly playing a character. It's so transparent.
Yeah, yeah, I would tend to agree. Though it does look like LeVar Ball has terrible breath. I think that's also fair criticism.
Only one way to find out. LeVar, stop being a coward and come on Locked On Lakers.
In person, by the way.
In person, just with Anthony, in a small, like, two-foot room.
No, so that he can figure out whether or not you have good breath. No, this is my nightmare. Speaking of nightmares, fantasy sports can impact that, sleep systems and all of that stuff. In all the worst ways. I can tell you firsthand, I just lost a 2 weeks in a row because kickers didn't produce points. So thank you, Brandon McManus, you freaking loser.
So now you don't have to deal with stupid kickers for more than 1 week at a time because of our new sponsor, Draft.com, exactly. Which you can also use to play fantasy basketball.
If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try our new favorite app, Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but not like the other guys. On Draft, you play real live snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night, and there's no management. Just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Oh, that's pretty cool. That's really cool. Draft starts every couple minutes, so you can join one right now. And the best part, play for cold, hard cash. Draft starts from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. No salary caps, play in a real-life snake draft, just like you play with your friends in a season-long league. Come and join us on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes. Or play.
And so I do want to say it literally is minutes. I set up my account this morning. It took me like probably, I don't know, like 10 clicks. It was very, very easy. You put in your email, you put in your credit, and then you basically just get to play. And you can join us and play in the LO NBA Fantasy League.
And for those of you who are like me, you can play from your computer on draft.com. So you don't, if you don't like the small screens because you're old and you're now a year older than you were the day before, I prefer having the big screen on me so that I can make sure I don't make any dumb mistakes. That's draft.com. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use our promo code
LO Lakers. And so you can play or this real money game for free just using LO Lakers on your first deposit on draft. I'm all set up with my credit. Anthony's going to be set up with his credit. And then we are going to be playing tonight. So if you join the LO NBA fan, if you join the LO NBA league, you could be playing against us.
And this is a, yeah, a LO NBA, Locked On NBA thing. Draft Wednesdays. Wednesdays are always a really busy day in the NBA schedule, so we're all going to be active on it. So come out and join us on draft.com or using the draft app. Now back to the show.
Make Anthony and us, I look like idiots.
Oh, that's not hard to make Harrison look like an idiot in fantasy. Moving on, we want to give a shout out to another young Laker who has drawn quite a bit of ire, whether it's
just
from
got
my
his
own,
option picked up.
Yeah, whether it's from my personal Twitter account, fans all over NBA Twitter or Lakers Twitter, however you wanted to find it, Brandon Ingram has played better than people are kind of giving him credit for. Now, again, this is a supremely small sample size. His first game was just outright bad. So it's actually kind of impressive that he's pulled his numbers back up to 14.7 points per game. He's at 3 assists per game, 3 rebounds per game. He's made 73% of his free throws, and he's shooting 5 of those per game. Although I'd like to see that go up given how many drives he makes to the basket. He's shooting 50% from 3, and we don't have to point out that he's only shooting 2 per game. And he is shooting 39.5 from the field as a whole. So that's
not great, but the rest of that stuff is okay. And like, he's in his second year, and he had that one really bad game against the Clippers, and everybody was ready to blast him. And since then, he's been all right. He had a career high against the Suns, who, as we've since learned, are one of the worst NBA defenses of all time.
He got Earl Watson still, fired.
Yeah, he basically, like, they saw Ingram go off for 25, and they're like, all right, we got to get Earl out of here. Yeah. And but then, I mean, in the next game against the Pelicans, he, like, box score wise, you wouldn't look at his numbers and be like, okay, this guy's incredible. But he was part of that run that got the Lakers back into the game. And I think that it's notable that over the last couple of years, he's been a part of some really good lineups, even if his box score numbers aren't that great. And I just, like, I want to ask you, Anthony, do you think he's just a winner and he has just that intangible knowledge of what it takes to win that he probably got from Coach K at Duke? Or he learned what it means to be a Laker, maybe from like possible workouts with Kobe Bryant or something. Like, he might have the Mamba mentality.
Uh-huh. No, but
that wasn't really a question. I just was stating platitudes.
Can we give him a nickname? Can I give him a nickname?
You could try.
Are you ready? It's a good one.
No, probably not.
All right. So he went to Duke, and he got a dude named Earl fired. So can we call him the Duke of Earl?
Get out. No, that was like two things that were unreal. No. Yes, we're going to call him that the rest of his career because he scored 25 against the Suns once and Earl Watson got fired.
And he went to Duke.
That was not your best, but
do I have a best? I don't think I do.
No, you don't. But like, I know it's just 6 attempts, so obviously he's not going to shoot 50% from 3 the whole year. But that's a pretty good start to the season. I think overall he's looked pretty good, and he seems to have he at times still looks out of control, and that's why his overall field goal percentage is not that great. And he's not going to be perfect this year. He's not going to be an all-star or anything. But I think that we're seeing steps towards him adjusting to playing with Lonzo, to playing with these other starters. I think that having KCP in the lineup so that he doesn't necessarily have to take the toughest wing. I mean, it seems like KCP is going to vacillate, maybe like taking sometimes Lonzo's guy. Or maybe at times he'll take just the wing player. And I think that Ingram, in playing with these veterans and that kind of thing, is going to get valuable experience and going to get chances to just kind of fit in with a little bit less pressure. And he seems to be adjusting to that.
I think a large part of why people are still down on him despite the numbers, because usually that's kind of what it takes, right? Is you get the counting stats that look okay, and people kind of lay off. But I think a large part of why, I mean, for, I can speak for myself here. A large part of why I'm still kind of down on what I've seen so far from Ingram is because I still don't think the Lakers are putting him in the best place to succeed. Telling him,
yeah, his shot selection has been bad.
Yeah, like telling him to just put his head down and drive into defenders and hope to get a foul call. Maybe as he plays longer in the NBA and he gets some more respect from referees, he'll get a few of those calls, so the free throws will go up and the field goal percentage will go up. But for right now, I would like to see him just keep the game a little bit simpler. Stand off in the corner and make a corner three every so often. One or two dribbles max. You should never be taking more than two dribbles if you're Brandon Ingram at this point. If you are
mainly because his legs extend the entire length of the court.
If you are going to be taking more than those dribbles, then you should be doing so in a pick and roll situation, not in an isolation situation. So, like, yes, I think under the circumstance, I think it's really impressive that Ingram has kind of turned things around over again. Huge. Bright light disclaimer here.
Yes, small sample size.
Yeah,
I thought shot selection to me was slightly better against the Pelicans.
And I think it'll get better as the year goes along. The funny thing is, he put a ton of pressure on himself to score anywhere from 15 to 20 points per game. But in taking the game and making it a little easier on himself and not forcing things as much, guess where he currently stands? He's right on the verge of 15 points per game. And that was kind of the annoyance when Magic Johnson was out there beating the drum of, yeah, this dude, we're expecting 20 points per game from him. It's like, no, you don't have to do that. The game is going to come to Brandon Ingram because I think he is talented enough to figure things out, just so long as he keeps it simple, especially at this early stage of his career.
Yeah, and I think that that goes back to the efficiency almost, where, I mean, sure, he can go and he can take 15 shots a game to score 15 points, or he can do it a little bit more if he just gets put into a role where he's not being force-fed these isolation possessions, these pick-and-roll possessions. He gets a couple more times where he just gets space out behind the three-point line. You're going to see those numbers start to go up, I think, and it may happen more naturally than what the Lakers did in the preseason, where they just said, okay, just put your head down, do a spin move, and try and get to the basket. And it just wasn't working, or he was taking these bad pull-ups, and his pull-up game still doesn't look that good. And it is, I think, a small reason for concern, just because somebody needs to talk to him. Like, he's not going to get his shot blocked if he just goes up.
Yeah,
you know?
He needs to stop fading. His
arms are endless.
Here's a question for you. He's averaging 14.7 points per game right now.
Okay.
Do you think he finishes the season with a number higher or lower than that total at the end of 82 games?
Oh, that's interesting. I'm going to go lower.
I'd say right at it. I'd probably say push. I'd say 14, 13 or
14. I'd say 13 or 14, yeah. I think, is more reasonable. Just because he's still adjusting. For all the positives that we're talking, I think he would still be better off if the Lakers just put him into a more complimentary role. He's not Kawhi Leonard, but kind of how the Spurs did with Kawhi Leonard, where they just, like, his first couple of years in the NBA, he really wasn't asked to do very much offensively.
Yeah, and that's how it should be, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, the Lakers have veterans.
Ingram just came in with much higher pedigree, but yeah, the Lakers have all these veterans. You, like, let some of those guys take some pressure off of him.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%. So, good on Brandon Ingram for picking things up a little bit over the last two games. Let's see how long that continues. The other question I was going to ask, and this was actually going to be kind of the foundation of the conversation, though we kind of took it in a different direction, but how long would we have to see this hold up before we start saying, oh, wow, like look at Ingram go?
Oh, say that again. I think I misunderstood the question.
So right now we're talking about two solid to decent games after one abysmal game. So how long would the solid to decent stretch have to get before you're willing to maybe start expecting a little bit more from Ingram?
I think, I don't know. So right now we're at three games. I'd say 10 to 12 games in, I start to say that, like, okay, this looks a little bit more real. This looks a little bit more fake. I think that's about the sample size where you start to say, all right, this is probably about where we start to look at what this guy's going to do the rest of the season. Really, it's 20 games in, but like 10 to 12, you can kind of get an okay sense. There are less outliers with 10 to 12 than there are with three, obviously.
I also wonder, too, how much his – so he's down a rebound a game so far from what he was at last year. I wonder how much that has to do with design and the coaching staff telling him out, telling him to get out and run so that, you know, if a big or if Lonzo gets a rebound, that they have somebody out there for that hit-ahead pass. So, because I've seen that be a complaint from people. That hasn't really been one of my complaints, but I have seen that as a complaint that, hey, how is this dude? How are we hearing about this guy potentially being almost 7 feet tall and he's still not getting rebounds? It wouldn't shock me if that was part of the design to try and get in transition as much as possible. And as Krangis McBasketball put in his article the other day, and it's on Foreign Blue and Gold, it was a pretty good read, but it basically the Lakers are almost half a point better per possession in transition than they are in the half court. And so
yes, the numbers very much reflect what the eye test shows. Yeah. The Lakers half court offense is very, very bad. Yeah. And their transition offense, especially off of Lonzo Ball outlet passes on a small sample size, but has been very good. And so I think if they're getting those rebounds and they're getting out and running and Ingram is getting out and running the floor, yeah, that's also going to make things easier on
him. It wouldn't surprise me at all if we started hearing more about that from the coaching staff, that they're basically telling Ingram, look, if your guy takes a shot, especially from the perimeter, because this is what they used to do to Kobe all the time when he would take a three, was because he would sit there and use his body English and whoever was guarding him would just get out in transition and they'd often wind up with a wide open dunk on the other end. I wonder if they're telling Ingram to kind of do some of the same stuff just to get him going. And
tell Ingram, like, hey, if you do the thing that Kuzma did in summer league, you're going to get four of those free points if you're trying to get to 15 or 20.
And look, for a young guy who has struggled the vast majority of his career, you want to get him as many easy buckets as possible. That's why, just like we talked about a second ago, I was pretty frustrated with the way they were using him. So if they start rethinking how they're using him and it starts having an impact on his production, good on everybody involved.
And I also don't want to act like I don't think this is your intention either. Like, we're smarter than the coaching staff or something. Like, they're going to figure this. They're seeing the same stuff and they're going to figure this stuff out too. Mm-hmm. And I think the only reason that I can make a counter argument that maybe they continue to have Ingram, you know, just kind of continue to pound away, is that they think long term him continuing to hit that wall is eventually going to allow him to break through. He's going to learn what it takes to get around guys, get his shot off over guys, and build up that kind of mid-range ISO game. I don't know that that would personally be my idea of what the best plan for him is, but I think that's maybe the logic behind it if they're going to continue to have him doing that.
I really hope that's not what they're doing. Because, again, the pull-up mid-range contested jumper is the most inefficient shot in basketball. So
that's true. It's true. But sometimes you need those. Sometimes you need a guy to go get. Sometimes that's all that's available.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a Kawhi or if you have a CP3 and they're that good at it, then it's not a terrible shot. But unless you're literally every other player throughout the NBA – that winds up being a pretty terrible shot. So, you know, and
well, they said they wanted to be more like Kobe, dominate despite efficiency.
Oh boy.
So yeah, Ingram's going to be the new Kobe, like the very laid back Kobe. He's going to answer the question, what if Kobe was actually kind of chill?
Laid back Kobe is an oxymoron.
I know, that's true. So actually, before we wrap up here, I do want to give a shout out to Ty the Boss, a frequent listener. He talked to us in the iTunes reviews. This actually kind of helped spur the idea for this segment. He was saying that we were killing Ingram a little bit too much, and I actually, like, I started to look at the numbers, I started to think about it, and he's probably right. We blasted him when he was bad, and then we didn't really talk enough about that he's been okay to start the season. And so, we appreciate that feedback. And the 5-star review.
Oh, I definitely got a lot of that from my Twitter account when he dropped his career high on a night where I had literally
Anthony wasn't on Twitter and shouldn't have been on Twitter.
Be the world's worst host.
Yes. So if you guys want us to talk about something specific, or you guys have a question that you want answered, this is another great plug. 5-star iTunes review. Leave that question. Leave an idea for a segment that you guys want us to talk about. We always check these before we go on the air, and we will generally address them.
Wait, wasn't that the same guy who asked about like our playing experience?
Yeah, he asked, he said that you had never played basketball before, and I laughed really hard.
I mean, there's a video of it. I mean,
yeah, that's like what I'm saying. Like, duh, he's played basketball before.
My
like,
lowest point well, in my basketball career, but yeah, it's yeah. It's right there.
Yeah, and also I'm not going to give this guy a shout out because he gave only one star review, but I'm gonna endorse his idea. Harrison Fagan should host solo, and he understands basketball a lot more fully than Anthony Irwin. Irwin overreacts every day. He is a basketball idiot, and this guy that wants me to host solo spelled my last name wrong. So. That hit the trifecta of reviews. And guys, I can promise you, you don't want me to host a solo podcast. That's not a good idea.
No, the solo podcasts suck just in general.
Anthony, you complete me.
All right. On that awkward note, we're going to get out of here. The Dodgers are about, they're 2 hours away as we're recording this right now from their first World Series game.
Wait, Anthony, this is running tomorrow, though, so tell everybody how it went.
They played well, and I don't want to jinx it, and I'm not going to say anything else.
Kershaw pitched a complete game shutout.
No, shut up. And, no, stop and it.
Yasiel Puig hit seven grand slams.
Harrison, you're just naming Dodgers that you know. Stop it.
It was amazing. It was the best.
Harrison! Bye, guys!
Justin Verlander was really, really
Talk
good.
Talk to you later!